funny because, you know, I said this morning that I might preach the same message 2 or 3 weeks in a row. I wasn't planning on preaching this. Actually, I wasn't even planning on preaching this morning out of this text. I wasn't going to plan to preach out of it tonight. I was going to preach out of John chapter 1. This morning when I left, Melissa asked me, she goes, do you need these notes? I'm like, no, I don't need the notes. I didn't. I knew I wasn't supposed to take them. I don't usually preach from notes. I don't know if y'all know that. Some of y'all are going, I wished you would. It's all right. But this evening, about 20 minutes before we were about to leave, I looked over at the notes, and it was funny. At the very top of the notes, it says, Black Scorpion. She said, that's not the message, is it? That's a whole different thing. I'll tell you about that later. But no, I won't. Anyway. But then I looked over the notes, and I said, man, that's almost a totally different message than what I preached this morning. Let's do it again, Lord. So let's run it back. So in John chapter 8, verse 1, I said something this morning. I think it needs to be expounded on a little bit too. I said in that meeting this morning, it says, be careful who you bring to church. Y'all remember that? Be careful who you bring to church. Jesus might just save them. Amen? I've seen this happen. I've had this experience where I know people and I've seen people and I've gotten a relationship with them, and all of a sudden they're inviting people to come to church with them, yet their walk with the Lord is a little off or not even existent. And I'm sitting there thinking as they walk in and sit down and they're sitting in the church service, and I see the person sitting next to them and they're sitting there going, that's God. Matter of fact, can I be real open with you, since we're about half the crowd we are this morning? That happened this morning, not the first part per se, but the second part. I seen a young man who walked in here this morning, and I met him at the door, and he was one way, and all the way through the service, I seen God all over him. And I said, I bet he thought he was coming here for one thing, church, and he met God. And man, ain't that amazing how God will do that? But you got to be careful, because if you come to God, what they were doing, they were bringing a girl caught in the very act of adultery to use her as a catapult to accuse God of not following the law and the commandments of Moses. But what they didn't reckon in their mind was God doesn't care about all that other stuff you're trying, the motives in which you're operating in. He cares about her soul. He cares about your soul, the person who brought them. But if you're not careful, I've got many of friends, a few of them from Kentucky, a matter of fact. One by the name of Teddy Walters. He was sitting on a bridge throwing rocks off a bridge, and a girl walked by and he said, hey, where are you going? She said, I'm going to church. So guess what he did? He went to church in Hazard, Kentucky. And guess what? He didn't get a girlfriend. He got a savior. Be careful who you take to church. It might change your whole relationship. You might be friends coming in and not so much friends going out. You might have a good dating relationship coming in and not a good dating relationship going out. They might be coming some in here. They might be coming in one way, leaving out of here in love with Jesus, and you were in love with making an appearance at church. Amen. I'm making a show at church. They said, man, I fell in love with Jesus. There's a big difference in loving Jesus and loving church. When you fall in love with Jesus, church is better. When you fall in love with Jesus, bad church is better. When you fall in love with Jesus, you see all the benefits of who Jesus is and what He's done in your life, and you don't give up on church like you don't give up on the job because of the benefits. Whew. I got some people, man, they'll quit church at the drop of a hat. Quit. Yet been doing the same work for 100 years. Amen? Because they don't see the benefits of Christ yet. Amen? Once you get the benefits of who Christ is, you'll be like a pit bull in a pork chop. You ain't going nowhere. Amen? Amen? You'll be wherever God wants you to be. And you'll be there until he goes and tells you to go somewhere else. Amen? Be careful who you bring to church. You might be bringing the next radical Christian that'll stir up so much stuff in your life, make you feel bad. Well, can I go a step further? I think I will. What if you bring a Christian? What if you bring a person here who gets saved and you're a Christian, you're a believer, but you're only doing a little bit of what God wants you to do, but all of a sudden they come and get in and they get to doing 100% of what God wants them to do, and you're sitting there watching them. There's only two things you can do. Get busy or get jealous. Amen? Get better or get bitter. Oh, they just think they're something. No, they just met Jesus, and they know his full worth. It almost makes me want to preach about Mary Magdalene, or not Mary Magdalene, but Mary who worshiped Jesus. Walked in the room. Every time she got around him, couldn't help herself, began to worship. I wish that spirit would catch on. We need some people in this church who gets a good case of I can't help it. Hey, let me go past it, because that's just a little catchphrase. We need to get some people who are not afraid to be seen worshiping Jesus, no matter how weird they might look. Sometimes people are going to look at you, if you do it right, some people are going to look at you and go, man, they don't have to get that messed up for Jesus. Yes, you do. Sometimes you do. Mary walked in that room with that alabaster box of ointment and got all over Jesus' feet. Dirty, nasty feet that had been walking the roads in a third world country. And she took her beauty and her tears and washed his feet and didn't think one thing about it. I guarantee you everybody in that room that didn't love Jesus was sitting there going, I would never do that. I would never. God, I'm about to lose it, Donnie. I would never get that low and embarrass myself and ruin my name like that. Not long from now, he'll get lower than this. He'll get more messed up than I'm getting. If you ever do get messed up for Jesus so bad, people go, man, I can't believe you look so weak and so broke up and so tore up. I can't believe your face looks so messed up. And you say, well, there was a time when Jesus got on the cross and nobody could even recognize who he was for me. If he can get unrecognizable on the cross, then I can get unrecognizable in the altar to pray into my God. I can get past the surface level of who I look like for him because he broke himself for me. Wouldn't it be beautiful if we just got over ourselves? If people down in the towns and the communities say, man, that church gripper, boy, they just make a fool out of themselves for Jesus. Some of y'all are wondering how to grow that church. You know what? Two things would happen. Religious people would probably never come to that church. But there's a bunch of people in this world would be like, I need some help. God, while I'm in, I can't help myself with these stories. Have I read a verse yet? No. Thank y'all. I got 20 notes. I remember this real church up here in Sweetwater was growing like wildfire. Growing like wildfire. I mean, they had like 700, 800 people. Went from a population of 30 to about 700. It was on fire. I mean, man, people were coming, joining that church left and right. And all of a sudden, man, they got down there at the Hardee's, down there in Athens, Tennessee. The Hardee's. Breakfast at Hardee's in a small town. That's a lion's den if I ever heard of one. There was two guys sitting over there in the corner, and they said, you know, that church up there is growing so fast, I heard they'll just let anybody in there. They're just letting all kinds of sinners in there, and they're preaching to them, and they're getting all happy, and they're growing. But you know what? I wouldn't let them in our church. There was one guy sitting one seat over from them who went to that church, and he was bowing up in his back. He was going, oh, I want to tell them. I want to tell them. God, let me tell them. Let me rip them apart. There's another man sitting on the other side of them, leaned over and said, hey, boys. They said, yeah, what's the name of that church? And they told him, he said, good, I think I'm going to go up there. I need to go back to church, and I need to go somewhere where they'll let me come in. And that guy sitting there said, God, you get them. Hey, man.
I hope
when they ride back, man, they're not a sophisticated, but man, it seems like that parking lot, they probably just letting anybody. We want everybody to come here. We want everybody to get Jesus. We don't want them to stay the same. We want them to get on fire for God, and we want to reach more and more people. Amen? And we can do it from here just as well as we can do it anywhere else in the world. Amen? Jesus went up onto the Mount of Olives. Man, finally getting to the message. Thanks, preacher. Went up on the Mount of Olives. I wrote some points just off of that. I thought that was pretty good. I know you got it this morning. But there was time apart. Get time apart from people. Jesus separated himself off, and he'd get himself away from everybody else. You can take that blueprint. You don't always have to go to this super spiritual place. You can get apart from everybody else and just listen to God. You can just get apart from everybody and let God speak to your heart. Amen. Sometimes we got too many people talking for God. We got too many people saying stuff like this. If I were you, this is what I would do. If I were you, this is what I would do. They don't even know. Amen. I like to preach like this. They don't even know. If you would take your problems, your issues, your situation, and just dump it over into their plate, they would have a panicking fit and just quit. Amen. This is what I'd do if I was married to him. This is what I'd do if I was married to her. This is what I would do if I was dealing with that. Praise God, and you let them have it one day, and they just bow up and stop doing everything they was doing. Amen? Maybe you just need to spend some time apart. Get away from everybody and hear God. Amen? I guarantee Jesus sometimes had to get away from his 12. Amen? Because they were like us. Sometimes we're so ignorant, and we say so much stuff. Amen? I know Thomas had him going. Thomas, you need to go somewhere. Amen? Y'all remember when he had the woman at the well and he sent all 12 apostles down to town to get lunch. I preached that so many times here. Hey, 12 of you, go get me some lunch. All 12 of them down in Samaria trying to get lunch down in town. And they're all trying to argue about who's going to bring the best lunch back. And the time they get back, they go, Jesus said, here, every one of them's got a variety pack of food. Hey, look, Jesus, what I got you. Oh, this is what I got you. Judas probably like, I tried to save some money. I only got you that. What'd Jesus tell them? I got food that you know not of. I'm not even hungry. I didn't want lunch. I wanted you to get out of the way where I could work. Amen? You ever had that experience? Everybody had to be out of church for a little while and they had a good run of the Holy Ghost while you was gone? Oh, God, never mind. Y'all better leave that alone. Somebody's like, well, I was out of church for a little while. Seemed like a church just blew up and roof went off. Man, I was having Holy Ghost. I came back and it wasn't the same. Oh, never mind. I can't preach like that. I didn't mean that. Strike that from the record. Amen? Time above. Amen. He went to the mountain. Time above. Sometimes you're going to have to get to a different point of view. Write this down. It'll help you. Some of you need to change the optics. Some of y'all need to change how you see it. Get above it. Get around it. Get to a different eye level on it. Because sometimes if you're not careful, you're sitting there in the middle of it. You really can't see and you ain't got a good point of view. Amen. There's a thing called the press box. In sports, amen? If your football team is doing terrible and their offense is terrible, and you got an offensive coordinator who's standing on the sideline, sometimes the coach will tell him, get up in the box. Why? Because apparently you can't see what's going on down here. Maybe if you get up there, you'll get a different point of view and you can make some better play calls. Good. Well, that's better preaching y'all letting on. Sometimes God puts you in a different point of view. If you'll get up above the aggravation, the fear, the bitterness, the madness, if you'll get up a little bit and look at it, and maybe you'll come to the conclusion, it ain't them, it's me too. Y'all won't have altar call now? I love that, amen. I got some issues in my life and problems in my life, but if ever I ever get into a real good point of view to look at it, a lot of times I can see my input. I can see some of the stuff I said, some of the stuff I done, but if I stay down in there in the fray, all I'm trying to do is get that next one off, amen. Oh, I'll leave that alone.
time alone.
Praise God, it's good to be alone sometimes. A time of preparation. Goodness gracious. We're not prepared for anything anymore. Amen? We're sitting, man, Ed said that right there at the beginning of the service. Pray. Pray for what? Pray for God to open your heart and your mind and your understanding. And then you get in the Word of God and it reveals and it opens up. Praise God. Preparation. I mean, if you stay prayed up, there ain't a whole lot's going to rock your world. If you stay prayed up and talking to God, the situation might be crazy, but you'll be sitting there going, man, it feels like I'm prepared for this. Amen? I've been in some situations. I love the story about Hezekiah when Isaiah come up there to him and he said, get your affairs in order. You're about to die. Hezekiah's sitting there going, man, I'm about to die. What am I going to do? What can I do? I can't go to anybody. He's laying there sick, got a bull or something on his side he can't fix. All of a sudden, you know what he said? I can do one thing. I could roll over against the wall. I get alone, get a different perspective. I'm not looking for everybody else in the room to give me an answer. I'm going to go directly to God. He went directly to God. God, can you heal me? I love what it says. He goes, God, I just didn't start loving you because I'm sick. Some of y'all might want to write that down. Praise God, I didn't just start loving you because something bad's going on in my life. He goes, I took down the high places. I restored the priest. I kicked out all the wicked people. I've done some good things. Lord, I love you. Check my record, God. Can you say that to God? Look at me. I'm not perfect. I'm not some superhero. But God, I love you. Let me go a little bit further. I love the story of Job. Don't y'all? Have you really ever studied Job? You know what he did? When Job, God allowed the devil to take everything from him. I mean everything. And you know what he did? I love Job went out there and got a pile of ashes. Got in a pile of his ashes. He couldn't slaughter an animal to talk to God or burn sacrifice. The devil interrupted his communication to God first and foremost. That should tell you something. But he walked out there. God, this is so good. He walked out there, got where he... Job got up every day and sacrificed 10 of his best animals for his children and his family every day. Whew. That's commitment. He didn't go out and get his worst. Could you imagine if you went just to some farmer right now? I'm talking about some cattle farmer and say, give me your 10 best. I'm going to slaughter them every morning for God. But no. You can have him 10 lame ones right over there. But God, he took his 10 of his best. You know what he did? When all the bad started happening, he went out there in that pile of ashes and put it all over his head. It was to let God know he was humbling himself, but it also let him know, God, this ain't the first time I talked to you. I've been piling these ashes up for years. Amen? Amen? We don't want to go to God as who we are, but it would be nice to have a call in beforehand. Amen? I did talk to you before. I do trust you before. I have loved you before. I ain't waiting on a bad time. That's what some of you, man, we make the mistake. We wait till we get down in the valley to start really seeking God. If you'll ride with him on the top of the mountain, when you get in the valley, you'll find out there's more God in the valley than there is on the mountaintop. Whoo, glory. There's more names for God in the valley than there are in the mountaintop. Man, I love God in the valley. Praise God, when you get down there, he stops letting you do everything. He starts doing it. Just if you get low enough. I'm only going to preach two more points. Man, we've got some stuff out there. Hey, anybody having a good time? I'm having a time of my life. I'd rather be preaching and breathing sometimes. Probably doing a little bit of both. I ain't going to say your name tonight, Charlie. Charlie, darn it. Got me. And is it recorded? And early in the morning, he came again in the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. I wrote that y'all heard that in the first one. Jesus is ready for anything and anybody. Amen. Well, put that down. You might not to anything, because we know there was a lot of crazy stuff going on, but anybody. Golly bum, my wife had this great ministry stuff right here. My wife come up with this one time, and I don't want to give her all the credit back then, but I will now. But I'm telling you, she said it, and I wanted to steal it. I was thinking, I hope I get to take this to a revival, and I'll take full credit for it. But when she's with me, I got to give her some of it. But she said to somebody one time, we was doing something, you know, and I'm all, my mind's running all the time 100 miles an hour. She's smart, she's wise, she's calm, she's calculated, all that stuff. She don't talk unless she has to. When she does, it's smart. We're riding, all of a sudden this guy, somebody asked her, how do you minister to gay people? How do you minister to people that are on drugs? How do you minister to people that are dealing with transgender situations? How do you minister to people that are just in heart like murderers? And I'm sitting there thinking, I got this big answer. I'm going to come up with this. I do this. Her. She goes, it's the same gospel for everybody. She said, it's the same message for everybody. The same Jesus for everybody. You tell them about Jesus and he died for their sins. And if they'll accept what he did for them and they will repent and turn to God, he can wash them cleanse of all their sins and make them whole just like he can anybody else. Anybody. There's nobody. See, that's why the prosperity message won't preach everywhere. Some of these other messages won't preach everywhere. That's why the gospel preaches anywhere, because the poorest man needs it and the richest man needs it and everybody in between needs it. And if you give it away enough, everybody will get it. God is prepared for everything and anybody. Amen. And I'm glad of that. I'm glad God don't need you to be anybody special. He can save anybody. I'm glad there ain't no situation where you're sitting there going, man, how am I going? You just share the gospel when you're given opportunity, and that seed works. Amen. God is a lethal seed giver. I don't know any farmer like Jesus. That joker throws seed on everything. Hard ground, rocky ground, weedy ground, plowed ground. Just throwing seed like he got tons of it. Because he does. He throws seed that bounces 4 feet up in the sky instead of drilling down in the ground. Some of you go, why in the world would God throw seed on everything? Donnie, I know one reason. I know one. I thank God for every season he threw seed in my life. When he threw it, when I was a hard-headed person and wouldn't accept him, I'm glad when I was a shallow ground, I'm thank God when I was a weedy ground, and I thank God for the day that it penetrated my heart and my life. I'm glad that one day it wasn't wasted seed. My God, ain't you glad that one day that he threw seed like a 5-year-old kid spreads peanut butter on a peanut butter sandwich. He just gives you way too much. Whew. Aren't you glad? This is the last point. I've got about 10 more, but I think I'm only going to stay right here. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they sat her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. I wrote this down in these notes. It says, they set her in the midst. I said, religion is really good. And the same thinking right there. I said, religion and legalistic religion is really good at rolling out the worst in someone else. Yet in doing so, they expose themselves to so much. They can also take a scripture to expose the problem, but they never have a solution. The religious elite that day, and just like a lot of legalistic religion today, it's easy for them to point out somebody else's problem. It's easy for them to roll somebody out that society says is not worth it. In doing so, they expose themselves to Jesus. Amen? When they rolled her out expecting God to look at her and react a certain way, he turned his gaze from her and looked at them. Amen? He looked at them and he said, you judge and you don't love. Amen? You take all the rules, but you have none of the love. You don't have any of the good things of the law of Moses. You have the rules, but you don't have the heart. You have a ministry, but you can't see broken people.
You like the high places, the front row seats, the titles and the offices, but you don't love broken people. I went in ministry with this man, and every time I talked to him, he would tell me where he went to college. And I love college. If you went to college, I got no problem with you. That's awesome. I took the dumbest route possible. But he would tell me, yeah, I went to this college. I got this kind of degree, and I got that kind of degree. And every time I seen him, he was around a city councilman, somebody, a mayor, a city person's representative. And if anybody came out like that, he would shoot right to them. Then there's another man in the ministry. His name's Brother Roy Johnson. He's the founder, the CEO, and the president of Providence Ministries. And I seen him sit in the room with all those men at one time. And I heard the words that he spoke and the way he talked to them and the way he shared with them. And then they left. And at that same time, not many, many times, but this one in particular that always stands out. That particular man, when he seen all those guys come out of the office, whoo, he was rubbing shoulders with him, talking to him. Me and Roy and a man named Chaplain Wesley. Chaplain says, we got a situation out here. And I was kind of shadowing him, learning another part of the ministry. He said, Kevin, come out here with me. I want you to go with me. They walk out. We walk outside, and we go up under these transfer truck beds, and there's about 20 people outside living in the transfer truck beds, and we're having to do some remodeling and stuff like that, so they have to move, and we're getting them rooms, and we're getting them places to stay, and there's one lady, and I'm telling you, man, she got up out from under the bed of this truck, and she was covered in cobweb tattoos from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. And I went, whoa. And she looked rough. And she walked up and she goes, what are y'all going to do for me? And Roy says, first of all, sis, we love you. And we want the best for you. And we want to pray with you. He started talking to her like he was talking to those men in that office. I was sitting there, my ears were wide open, and I'm like, there's no different in conversation. There's no way in the way he's treating this woman compared to how he was just treating the mayor of this town. And at the end of it, she hugged him and she said, I can tell that you care about me. I can tell that you love me. And I've never forgot that. That was probably 12 years ago. It's not how we deal with other religious people. It's not how we deal with the people that are clean and well. It's how we love the most broken of the broken people that matter. We don't roll people out before God. We walk up to God with these people and we say, here's a dear friend of ours that we want to be saved just like us. That man that laid outside the gate beautiful for all those years, when he got healed, he started worshiping Peter and John. Peter and John says, don't worship us. We are men just like you, needing a Savior just like you needed a Savior. Amen? I hope this has been a help to you tonight. I feel like I've told you every story that I know and some Bible mixed in there together. And Ed said something, and I appreciate it. I do. But can I tell y'all something? Y'all probably know this already. There's been a revival going on in this church for the last 7 years. Did y'all know that? The number of people that have been saved and have come to this church and it's been around this church. This morning alone, we had 15 or 20 people that's prominent out of this church that wasn't here. There was another 15 or 20 people that I'd never seen before that were here. There's a revival going on in this. All we need to do is tap into it where we see it go a little bit deeper and a little bit further. Amen? I'm all about some revival. I am. I want true, real blue revival. What revival looks like. When he says that 250, I love Chris. You know what I want to see? I want to see what 250 men saved looks like. Because if 250 men down there in that town got saved, here in about a year, people should be saying,
man, this town's getting nuts for Jesus. I'm praying for God to bring up about four or five young men out of this church that would take my place. I need to train some people. That's what I'm doing. I'm praying, God, put somebody up under me that I can hand this thing off to one day. Because I'm not going to run until I'm 80. I already know that. I've lived too hard to live to 80. Charlie, if I make it to 65, boy, I'm going to be ignorant. Let's all stand up.